And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton and the rest of the world via our website at cfmu.ca. Check it out for fundraising information. We can talk about that because what happens on this program and on this station is different than other ones. And we get to talk about what's happening in the community and at McMaster University. And I have a guest here today who's perfect on these subjects. I'm going to be speaking with Professor Yasser Hadara. And he's over here at McMaster working with groups on campus like Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights. He's a member of Faculty for Palestine, and he's board chair of the Canadian Muslim Public Affairs Council. So welcome to the program, Yasser.
Thank you very much, Brendan, for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it sounds like you're a busy man, so I'm glad you're able to give us some time today, and it's an important program. This week when we talk about what people are doing in the community in Hamilton and at McMaster. And I know you know a lot about this. And, you know, I guess you can help us out a little because I was in Toronto all day yesterday. I was running around filing forms and doing things. So I missed out what happened on the campus yesterday. I know some people who were there. So you can help us out, the listeners. What exactly happened yesterday in terms of these solidarity events on campus?
So yesterday was a really important event. SPHR, Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights, which is a student group that has really been a very impressive group in the way that they've carried themselves and conducted awareness and protest campaigns on campus this term and last term. And they organized, they called for this rally and protest to demand that McMaster participate in the academic boycott that has been called for by Palestinian civil society. So this would be academic boycott of Israeli academic institutions, which are complicit in the occupation and complicit in the war crimes of the Israeli government. And they got wide participation. They invited faculty to participate. They invited staff to participate. They invited other student groups to participate. So there was a speaker from MAC Divest. There was a speaker from QP, the union. And there was a speaker from Faculty for Palestine, as well as the SPHR speakers. And it was really, a heartfelt, heartwarming, and heartrending all at the same time event, because we whenever you participate in an event like this, it's just a reminder of the devastation that is happening right now in Palestine and of the complicity of people at all levels of leadership in our society, from allowing arms exports to continue. To here at McMaster, the passive complicity that we have been witnessing, and so this was a call on McMaster to make the right choice, make the moral choice, and participate in the academic boycott of Israeli institutions.
That's something we should take a closer look into. I understand there's some history here, of course, because there have been campaigns at McMaster University to be part of BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions. And some time ago, circa 2014, I believe, there was a successful initiative on campus to make McMaster part of BDS. We were somewhat involved in that. This program promoted that. So there's, on the one hand, a general focus on this boycott, divestment, sanctions that the university is supposed to comply with. But now what you're telling me is that there's a call to break ties with Israeli universities. So
is that
because of your focus as academics, or why do you think it's important specifically to call out Israeli universities?
So there are a number of reasons. One of them, as you said, it's because of our focus as academics. So we as academics need to do our part, and we need to call for something that is tangible, that affects all of us as academics. But also it is a very important display of solidarity, because again, as academics, we have to recognize that Palestinians don't have access to education at this point because of the aggression against them. Because their educational system, as well as their medical and health infrastructure, have been deliberately targeted in the genocidal war that we have been witnessing. Because so many schools have been destroyed, so many university campuses have been destroyed, because so many people have been displaced and they can't have access to educational activities. And because this is part of a long-running pattern in the oppression of Palestinians. So if academics can't take a stand on this, then what can we take a stand on? And where is our moral compass if we can't stand up and say that as an institution, we cannot be complicit in this? And McMaster has unfortunately done, the exact opposite. One of the things that Israeli academic institutions do that is directly complicit in Israel's oppression of Palestinians is that they have all of these special programs, all of these special academic privileges for people who serve in the IDF, in the occupation army. Well, McMaster has done something similar in that you've allowed. I know of at least one case in which one person was allowed to go and serve in the army while having a position, an academic position held for them so that they could just come back and slot right into it without any consequences. That is not normal. It is not normal for a teaching assistant to just leave for an open-ended period of time and then come back and find the position just waiting for them. So this is really reprehensible that McMaster has not taken a stance on these things. So when we call for a boycott of academic institutions, it is because of their direct complicity. That's number one. It is because of the relationship to our mission as academics. That's number two. And it's because of the importance, the symbolic importance of this as an act of solidarity.
Yes, when you're in a university, you expect that it's a place for discussion where ideas can be put back and forward, disagreeing ideas, controversial ideas. And there's also a space for justice, and people can discuss what justice is, but they should be able to pursue that. And what you're telling me is that the university, in some ways, is complicit and non-neutral on this issue. They're making allowances for certain things. And you, of course, want to talk about what's going on in Palestine. This is not occurring in a vacuum. In terms of this divestment campaign, this appears to be part of a national campaign. So it wasn't just happening at McMaster. There are other efforts at other universities. Is that right?
Yes, and so I don't know every effort at every other university, but it's actually far more than a national campaign. It's an international campaign. And again, I think it's very important to emphasize that the call for it comes from Palestinian civil society. We're not talking about Palestinian politicians calling for this, and we're not talking about just international groups pretending that we know what is best for the people of Palestine. We are responding to the call of the people who are directly affected by this. And we are responding to something that is very well reasoned, very well articulated, has been laid out with studies and reports and evidence. And there has been response for it around the world. So there are four Norwegian universities that have engaged in this academic boycott. There are two U.S. universities at this point, American universities, that have divested or that have declared their intentions to divest. So this is happening across the globe, and Canada needs to be part of this, and Canadian institutions need to be part of this.
People may not be aware of this, but McMaster has a long history of opposing apartheid, not just in terms of those BDS votes and the divestment activity, but 40 years ago in the 1980s, there was a big campaign at McMaster to divest from apartheid in South Africa. Now, I have to say, incidentally, the ANC government in South Africa has launched an appeal at the International Court of Justice about Israel's genocidal activities. So now you see the South Africans are out and they're supporting Gaza, they're supporting Palestinians. So you never know down the line where your political actions are going to bear fruit, I suppose.
That's very true, but it also calls, unfortunately, another type of comparison, which it really makes you question whether McMaster's history of opposing apartheid was rooted in a moral stance or rooted in a popular opinion. Because if you had no trouble doing this in the 1980s, but it took you that long to do it. Like the 1980s is when the tide turned, so to speak. But there was no earlier action. And now we are witnessing a repeat of this. So now the university administration, leadership in the university, in the academic sector, I'm not going to limit it to McMaster, but to other universities as well, and the political leadership in this country, all of them seem to be still stuck in the rut of old platitudes. And driven by kind of a narrative that has been mainstreamed, where Israel acts with impunity, and where it is not held accountable, and where people will not take a stand that appears to kind of contradict this narrative. I see the tide changing. And I see that people are behind these so-called leaders. They are way behind on responding to this reversal in the tide. And that's very dangerous because you brought up the ICJ. Well, the ICJ's provisional ruling is actually quite important, and it is binding on nations such as Canada. And I don't think it's very far in the future when corporations and institutions, not just government, may be sued for their complicity in genocide, because it has now been recognized that, at least on the face of it, the evidence. This is what the ICJ's ruling means in very simple lay terms. The ICJ has basically said that on the face of it, the evidence would tend to support that there is that what is happening in Gaza is genocide. They haven't made a final ruling, but that was essentially what was at stake. They were asked to dismiss the case because there was no case to be heard. And they refused, and they said that the evidence on the face of it would seem to indicate that there is something here that needs to be looked at. And they mandated some very specific measures, and which Israel has flouted. They have not provided reports on their humanitarian aid. They have not allowed humanitarian aid. They have not taken steps to prevent the killing of civilians, etc. So there have been several provisional rulings by the court that have been ignored by Israel. And so people who continue to support the actions of the government of Israel materially are liable. And I think people need to wake up and pay attention to the situation they're placing themselves and their institutions in.
Yes, the global majority opinion is screaming about what is happening in Gaza, just generally in the world, as well as the more democratic international institutions are all saying that this needs to be addressed right now. And you're right, it bodes very ill for people that are not doing anything about this. And the mainstream political parties in Canada have been mostly disappointing, although there have been some exceptions. And it goes to a point that we make on this program a great deal, which is that the leadership in this country of institutions seems to be way behind the masses. Ordinary people are very much in favor of Palestine and unions and social democratic parties and things like that at universities, etc., in Hamilton and you know, in the progressive community here. So really, you do see people acting on that. You do see groups like Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights on campus taking up the mantle there. And this event you had yesterday, for example, it's part of changing the political discourse. It's about calling leaders to account and trying to see a change in policy. You're very clear about that. You want to see a change in the way Canada addresses this issue and the way institutions address this issue. So students had to give up their class time to be at this. They had to give up their lunches. I mean, how many people came out yesterday as part of this rally?
I'm very bad at counting, but it was by the normal standards of campus events, it was quite sizable. We had We had support from the security services. Security at McMaster did a great job of marshaling and protecting the students' right to protest. And so we started out in front of Gilmer Hall. For those who are familiar with campus, we started out in front of Gilmer Hall, and then we went on a long circuit that passed by several buildings in which classes were being held. So that was part of the intent, is to make the voice, literally the voice, heard. So the chants were quite loud, and I think, in my opinion, quite effective. We went around all the way to the athletic center, around the student center, around some of the teaching buildings, and then we ended up again at Gilmer Hall. So it was a long march. It lasted for close to 3 hours, and then we closed with a prayer for peace. So I think the turnout was impressive. The organization was impressive, and just it was like I said, it was heartwarming and heartrending at the same time.
Well, I do remember I was part of such a long, circuitous, if that's the word, march over at McMaster with SPHR and others in the winter. So I do remember there have been some events like that. You can probably see them on the Instagram page for Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights. That's SPHR_MAC or something like that on Instagram. They've got lots of videos of these sorts of things, always will. Yeah, we saw speakers like QP, the presidents and or vice presidents of QP, have spoken at these, and probably yesterday. So this is the kind of thing we like to see. And students have very much brought a voice for Palestine onto campus and have been demanding change. So I guess I know we have to get going, but it does, of course, bring up the question of what's happening in the future in terms of what the campus groups, either professors, faculty for Palestine, or the Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights group, what are they looking to do as part of this divestment campaign or other awareness raising campaigns in the coming weeks before the end of term?
So I'm not aware of everything that's planned, but I know that there is a teach-in actually by the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. They are going to host a teach-in on campus in a couple of weeks. I know that SPHR has a number of events planned for the rest of the term to raise awareness. I know that Faculty for Palestine is looking at different steps to take to try and make our voice heard in support of the academic boycott. But again, we're still looking at what specific actions we will take. And I also know that the most important part is SPHR continues to be in communication with the university administration and with the student union administration to try and demand that appropriate measures be taken and to make their voice heard. I think that's very important. I think it's always important to engage, even when you don't like what is happening, even when you are engaging to register your objection, because it is very important that everyone knows what is called for, everyone knows what is needed. And at this point, really, in this particular case, there has never been anything on this scale that has unfolded in real time before the eyes of everyone all over the world, as we have seen in the case of the genocide in Gaza. And people in positions of authority really need to recognize you will not be able to claim ignorance on this issue. Ignorance will not be an excuse. So people need to do the right thing, because it is actually the smart thing. If you can see the pattern, if you can see the trend, you have to recognize that the tide is turning, and you need to get on board really quickly, in order to avoid being complicit and being liable.
Yes, I did not know will not be an excuse. I think you're absolutely right. Well, Dr. Hadara, you have brought your own wealth of experience to realizing or helping realize these events and this campaign on campus and some of the upcoming events that we can look forward to by following SPHR. on Twitter and Instagram and looking at the activities of Faculty for Palestine and others. So great work has been done since October on this issue, really mobilizing, and we're very pleased to see it. So thanks for taking the time. Thanks for being part of this. And we hope to get this out to anti-war mailing lists and such in Hamilton, so people have a better understanding of what you've been doing.
Thank you very much, Brendan.